Yo.
Hi, friends. We're here. Everything's fine. Nothing's messed up. It did not take us four tries to start the podcast today. We are trustworthy podcasters.
We are good having gravy. A day. Lordy.
Yeah.
What? We, you know, we're over halfway through 2020. We've done more recordings in quarantine than not. And we're almost getting the hang of it. We're going to get it.
My favorite is when, like, we've clearly gotten the hang of it and then we lose the hang of it. Like the cold open to the movie Cliffhanger, when one loses the hang of it and plummets to one's death. Spoiler for the movie Cliffhanger.
Damn. That really, you know, what a stellar piece of marketing. You finally got the hang of it. No, you don't got the hang of it. Cliffhanger coming to theaters. Movie theaters? Oh, God. Movie theaters, Tawny. Can you imagine?
Coming to full movie theaters soon.
I know. Oh, it gives me the heebie-jeebies just thinking about it. Movie theaters. Not
gonna I'm never going back in one.
Yeah. Yeah, fuck them. Hate them. Hate
Unless,
movies, too.
Unless I have a show, a movie that's coming out, and I need you all to go to the theaters, in which case I'm going to delete this from the archives.
Yeah. That'll be your shameful deletion. Well, I guess since we're doing news and we're talking about shameful deletions.
Sorry. First, we have to tell people what the podcast is. This is Yo, Is This Racist? I'm Tawny Newsom. He's Andrew T. We answer your voicemail listener questions about racism with the help of a special guest or guests. And all of our interviews up until this week were recorded in the before time. So it's wild, guys. It's wild to hear people sit in the same room and to have it be pre George Floyd. It's wild. But this is the last one of those. Now we're kind of caught up. Okay. Mm-hmm. Disclaimer done. Andrew, continue on.
That's actually a lot of... necessary information conveyed very efficiently. Thank you. Last week, this is like kind of like weird because I feel like I just forgot about this, which is probably there's something wrong with me on that level. But yeah, the one news item that I forgot from last week and I was kind of reminded because a friend of this show, Bowen Yang, posted about Megan Amram, who is a friend of mine, had posted apparently some like really racist anti-Asian tweets you know a while ago, but she also should have known better. And there's sort of a combination of trying to figure out for me the right thing to do. I mean, last week I'll just say on the show I just fully forgot because I feel like shit was really getting bad, and it is bad. And that sort of is part of it, is like me having a little bit of guilt about what anti-Asian racism looks like, and like calibrating what I believe about it with like the some of the beliefs expressed by the Asian community, which I don't love. And then the ones that I do love are like, you know, just knowing what to say. But I guess the thing I just wanted to say is that, like, my train of thought kind of runs along, and I heard this a lot from Asian folks who I know, and I hear it all the time, who are sort of, I would put them in a category of, because of COVID, like, a little bit newly opened to the ideas of white supremacy. But this idea that I really hate, which is like, oh, well, if you'd said the N-word or if she'd been talking about black people, no, it wouldn't have happened. Which on one hand is true, but on the other hand, isn't really about... It's like the wrong move, I guess. It's like anti-Asian racism is largely, not largely, but a lot of it is like, for like a lot of very privileged Asian people, like shit like this is sort of like, you know, close to as the worst and most prevalent of anti-Asian racism. And not to excuse it, because it all is racist, but, you know, it's hard to just put that into context, especially from people who I've mostly seen only giving a shit about Asian issues. And like sort of like that both sides of that coin of like comparing this to anti-blackness or into, you know, it just the horrifying examples of that we've seen, but at the same time, not just taking it because that is another pillar of white supremacy. So the answer is I don't really have a good response. I thought Bowen Yang's series of tweets were good.
We've seen from Bowen before like a tremendous amount of grace and like patience and willingness to explain his, you know, explain mm-hmm. things when he absolutely does not have to, but for some reason people yeah. like to call on him whenever someone does something racist against Asian people. Well, he's not like his job to deal with.
Yeah. I mean, right. And that in and of itself is also racist, right? It's like, hey,
yeah.
if there weren't so few Asians working with any kind of profile in entertainment, it wouldn't have to be fucking Bowen's job or whatever. Yeah, I guess, you know, it was sort of like a, I'm sure there's shit in my own brain that I need to dig out, but yeah, just feeling, you know, it was one of those things that was like disappointing. I guess I will also say that the tweets as I saw them from Megan were extremely, you know, that kind of joke is extremely, extremely prevalent in Hollywood. So there's a part of me also that's like, I don't know. This is just very status quo. And the context with which they were kind of brought up, which is like, this person was tweeting about in support of Black Lives Matter, but then she said this shit about Asian people. And it's like, there's that kind of edge of like, how dare you stick up for Black people if you're not perfect, which I also find like troubling. So,
isn't it also a way to discredit people who stick up for Black people to be like, well, you can't really be serious, so maybe this whole cause isn't very serious. Like, it comes from that place. It comes from the other side wanting to say, see, they're all hypocrites, so racism actually isn't real.
You
know?
So,
don't believe anything they say type of a thing. So you're helping fucking white supremacists when you jump in on shit like that. Not that you can't criticize someone, but just...
I know. Yeah, but that's the thing. One-to-one like that. Yeah. You find yourself in among weird bedfellows sometimes. Actually, speaking on other dumbass arguments from racists, I also usually Tawny and I compare notes on the news more than we have this week, which is barely at all. But the other thing I saw was like now the racists, because people are tearing down Confederate monuments and monuments of slave owners. And now like the smart racists are trotting out shit like, oh, what are you going to do? Like, George Washington owned slaves. You want to tear his monument down? Or like, was it whoever the fuck is the guy that Yale is named after? And it's like, well, Yale owned slaves. You want to tear down Yale? And really thinking they got one on people. Because it's like, yeah,
right.
Fucking,
The thing is, I feel like people like that are only talking to like other white people because like Black and brown people are like, yeah, I don't fucking know that guy. Like that dude didn't do shit for me. Washington first president? Great.
Yeah.
What? Great. Like, tear it down. I don't give a shit. We have other things to deal with.
Yeah.
Tear it all
and
down.
Also, better people. So, yeah, it's really like, you know, it's just amazing. Like, that is such a tired argument. I feel like that's been around the whole time. I mean, I'm sure it's just the, you know, racists are stupid and have no new ideas, or else they wouldn't be defending race science from like the 1300s, but this argument is like not the winner you think it is. Like, oh, what are you gonna solve all racism? You just all racism's unacceptable now.
Right. It's like, no, that's what we've been saying, bro. Like, all of it has to go. So however you need to get there.
Yeah.
I liked how someone said take down all the statues of racists, but leave their horses.
Yeah, truly.
Was that just Eliza Skinner? Comedian Eliza Skinner, maybe? Just like, let's be a nation of horse statues.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really like, oh, it's so funny that every time conservatives think they got something, it's like, okay, you're stupid.
Yeah.
Or racist. I guess conservatives, whatever. Conservatives can be whatever they want. What was the other thing? Oh, do we have anything to say about all the, like, I guess, alleged pedophile stand-ups?
Tear them all down, sorry. Too. Fuck them.
I keep throwing shit at you, Tani, that we didn't discuss beforehand. That just felt like it was another, like, Twitter thing.
Well, I love, like, you think I'm going to have a nuanced opinion other than just, like, yeah, fucking get rid of that guy. Like, fucking, yeah. Who cares? I know 10 women of color who complain about not being able to get stage time because there's just a slew of white dudes going, PC culture, blah, blah, blah. Like, it's all the same shit. There's 40 yeah. specials on every streaming channel right now that are like hashtag triggered or whatever. Like, let's clear yeah. some people the fuck out. Clear them out. I don't care. You texted one 15-year-old in Dallas late one night. Get the fuck out. Bye.
Yeah, seriously. I guess to me, I'm like, and my opinion has always been basically just fuck the entire institution of stand-up comedy. But that's not fair. We have so many great in fact, when I tweeted something to that effect, multiple friend guests of the show, Naomi Paragon, was like, well, yeah, but I'm really good at stand-up. And it's like, of course. Yeah. I really did have a not all stand-ups moment, but I was like, no, but come on, you know what I mean, right? Do you? I don't know. Maybe you don't. And it's fair if you don't. But I also, again, have a very, you know, I guess jaded view of stand-up comedy because I fucking hate doing it. So, yeah. Who cares? I hate it.
Yeah, man. Thing. This is a personal axe of yours.
Yeah. This is one of them me problems. Yeah. In fact, actually, our guest this week is a great woman of color who is a stand-up. And I'm
there
sure she loves stand-up comedy.
Yeah. I mean, part of her probably hates it too, but she's good at it. So, you know, let yeah. her keep doing it.
Let's see. Should we? Yeah, we're going to say the guest intro. I'm Marcelo Aguayo. But I also, before we go to the interview, did we talk about our fundraiser at all? Asada's Daughters, and thank you to everyone who donated.
Yes. Oh my God, you guys, you really blew us away. It was incredible. We moved the goal twice, thanks to our organizer, Ethan Andyshack. This was our fan-powered fundraiser for Asada's Daughters. Andrew and I didn't do shit. Really, like, producer mm-hmm. Matt got together with Ethan, and they worked out all the details. The GoFundMe goal was just absolutely smashed, like, twice. And I think fans raised a total of $14,755 for this grassroots Black woman-led organization out of Chicago. I could not be prouder of all of mm-hmm. our little wokey-doke you people, one of the good ones. Ones of the good ones. I've got to remember to pluralize the proper way. All of you ones of the good ones.
Yeah. Ones of the good ones. Yeah, I mean, it really was just one of those things that was like amazing to see. And we thank you. And, you know, we know that obviously lots of people are being very generous. Did we talk about this on the show? How I did like the back of the envelope net worth math, and I've given like 20 times more than Bill Gates as a percentage of how much money I have.
Oh boy, you might have, or you might have just told me. It's getting harder for me to separate what are just conversations you and I have versus what's the entertainment that we do for an audience.
Yeah,
sorry if that sounds lazy, guys, but shit's getting blurry.
Anyway, so yeah, Tani and I will be rounding that number off to a round number. And I don't know. We weren't sure. Do we talk about it? Yeah, well, whatever.
How to deal. We're donating on top of the generosity that you guys have shown. We're going to round the number up. I feel weird. I have classism issues with talking about the money openly. I mean, yeah. I guess tweet at me if that's wrong, but I don't know how to do this right. So the main thing is that you guys did the brunt of the work, and we're so happy to just participate in it and be part of it. So thank you to Ethan and everybody for.
We'll say this. We can't afford to match the donation like I initially wanted to. And so that's a testament to you people. And thank you so much.
Yes, thank you so much. It's really incredible. And yeah, I'm excited that a thing was helpful in some way. Jesus.
I know. Is there any specific stuff? I mean, you know, police violence is getting worse. The LA sheriffs murdered someone last week for no reason. Please take care of yourselves. Please continue to, please don't go to restaurants and bars. That's, you know, frankly, also racist because this disease is out here killing Black and Brown people highly disproportionately. And also servers are more vulnerable if you're going to restaurants. I know it's tough because they need to make money, but try, you know, do what you can, I guess, to try not to put people in harm or at risk. Protect each other.
Seek out experts that you trust and listen to them.
Yeah.
I just wanted to point out, was that words that I just said? I did want to point out that in this interview that we have with our guest, Marcela Arguello, Marcela mentions tour dates that obviously were canceled due to COVID. We recorded this back in February. We're sorry that you won't be able to go see Marcela live, but she plugs her Twitter and stuff at the end, but you can follow her to see if she's got any Zoom stand-up shows. I know there's been a lot of people on the fence about whether these Zoom stand-up shows are fun to do, but check out her socials to see what she has going on and how you can support her. Also, this is the first time in our chronological, so in our universe, the Andrew Tawney universe, this is the first time we hear from the bigot lady who, if you've been listening to the Yo Is This Racist Stitcher Premium episodes, yeah. Andrew has fucking just cannonballed the show with two of her appearances on there. And I've lost my mind at her because I deeply dislike this person. But so this is the first time, and it's going to sound cute because we've never heard from her before. So that's why, if you're listening to the premium eps, why this sounds out of order.
Yeah, that's right. She's repellent. Fuck her.
And we're not going to be putting her on the main show anymore. So don't get excited, person, if you're listening. You're not going to be heard from. I've had enough.
Yeah. But racist or non-racist, StitcherPremium.com/yo. I don't know. You can hear our bonus episodes. All right, here's Marcela.
So we'll roll in a very natural way that is normal. Yeah. We'll find somewhere to come in. You grew up in Central California?
Yeah,
right?
Modesto, California. 209 till I die. Yeah.
Nice. 209 till I die. Is that what people say there?
Or? That's what me and my family say.
Okay.
209 till I die.
Yeah. Great. I have been through there a lot. It's on the 99.
Mm-hmm. Everybody's been through there once.
Yeah.
Everybody knows somebody there.
Yeah. I come from a terrible town called Vacaville that's just north of you a bit, but it's...
Yeah, I know Vacaville.
Why do you know it? Why would you know
it? Why wouldn't I know? It's Vacaville.
Is it... Why does any... No one knows it. Everyone's
Central
like,
Valley?
Where is that?
It's the Central Valley.
Yeah, I guess.
Central... I mean, I know all the surrounding areas. I'm proud to be from Modesto.
Yeah.
For all this shit and glory. It raised you. It's who you are. You're like, the reason you're who you are is because of Vacaville.
Yeah. Onion Festival.
Shit.
What festivals did y'all have?
Modesto didn't really have a festival, but we supported all the other, like Houston Fruit and Nut Festival, Riverbank Wine and Cheese Festival.
Sure.
We go to all of them.
I know Stockton had like a...
Festival. No, just kidding.
That's why
I only know Central California through MMA fighters. I was like,
yeah,
what the hell?
Nick Diaz.
Why the hell do I recognize all these towns? And I was like,
why? Because they're from there or because they...
Well, Nick Diaz specifically from Stockton. But yeah, there feels like there's... I guess it's like... It makes sense. People fight.
Yeah, you have to. You have to fight and be scrappy in Modesto.
Yeah.
Hell
yeah.
Or some people pronounce it meth-desto.
Oh, that's hurtful.
Is it?
You know what?
To everyone gets to take another pass at the name. We'll come up with a better.
that's the good one. Trust me.
So we should introduce our guest properly.
Jesus Christ, I get surprised every time.
Well, it's because I'm so good at it and it's seamless. You know her as a stand-up. You know, hopefully you have her album, The Woke Bully. It's Marcela Arguello.
Yeah. It's me.
Providing her own air horn.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, all my sound effects.
So when you plan a tour
type thing. Do you include Central California cities?
Sometimes.
Do you just go home or do you like to go to places?
No.
Like, maybe home, a Lodi. Maybe
Sacramento.
Oh, okay, sure.
Sacramento, San Francisco. Those are the dates that I like to do because they have comedy clubs.
Right.
And they have a pretty good built-in audience there. Modesto is like learning how to be a comedy audience. I did my first real big Modesto show last year, 2019, for the Woke Bully Tour. It kicked it off. And it was at the Gallo Arts Center.
Oh.
And it was really cool, but we definitely had a walkout early. But it was like a lady in a walker. Like, of course she hated me. Right. She should hate me. I have beautiful legs. That'd work.
Marcella, maybe she just had to go to the bathroom.
No, she was really upset.
She was mad at what you said.
Very upset. It was great. I loved it.
Is it the Gallo Arts? Is it because of the wine?
Mm-hmm.
It's the Gallo wine,
yeah, the
right?
Gallo family.
Yep.
Yep.
I drank a lot of jugs of that wine.
I believe it.
It's a good jug, too. You know what I'm talking about, right?
That big...
The
like,
big glass.
It's like almost like a glass basketball, just like slightly yes. bigger. But it's like weirdly wide.
And an instrument, depends where yeah. who you are.
Oh, yeah.
You can play the jug on it real well. It's probably like a low A.
I feel like my dad at one point definitely just like was hitting that jug from the lip of it.
Ooh.
Yeah. Hey. My dad loves not paying very much for red wine. He
yeah, I mean, they shouldn't have to pay much for red wine.
Yeah.
We shouldn't have to pay to get drunk.
No. Mm-hmm.
It should be free.
Yeah.
And that's my...
The platform you're running on.
That's why
on,
you came
right?
in.
That's why I came here today.
We were going to talk about stand-up, but she is actually a politician. I'm yes. so sorry.
Red wine is free now.
Yeah. That would be... Every white woman would vote for me.
Hey.
54% of white women would vote for me.
Yep. Just call it like skinny bitch wine mm-hmm. 2020 yes. or whatever.
I hate women wine.
I realize that like the skinny girl brand is so... It's everywhere. I saw it on a Keurig cup for a hot tea.
Mm.
It was skinny girl cranberry tea.
Oh.
I was like, there's no fucking calories in this already. Sorry, do you know what I'm talking about? The skinny girl brand?
Yeah,
shit?
No, that I was trying to, it wasn't one of those like teas that give you diarrhea or whatever, right?
No, this was just a branded, anyway.
I can't believe white women pay to get diarrhea. You can just get it for free.
Yeah, that's true. Go to Taco Bell.
So easy to get
the
diarrhea.
$1. If you really want to spend your money.
So wait, you have a tour coming up.
I do. It's not really a tour. It's just like last year's tour was so brutal. Like I hurt my back in the middle of it, like because of something else. And then that made it worse. And then I basically told my team this year or the end of last year, I was like, let's only send me out once a month because I like to sleep.
Yeah.
I like to get rest.
Yeah. Then you're fresh. Then you're excited to go out.
Well, I'm also like, funnier when I'm happy.
Sure.
You know? Mm-hmm. Like, I can't be expected to be funny when I'm in a, you know, I have a temper. I know I have a temper.
It's why you're one of my favorite Twitter follows.
Here we are. Here we are.
Well, if you guys don't follow her on Twitter, really do yourself a goddamn favor.
I'm a fucking psychopath.
No, you just know what you want and what you don't like.
Yeah, that's true.
And I appreciate it.
Thank you.
It gives me courage to tell people to fuck off.
You know, women always say that to me. I'm like, good. But there's some young women, comics specifically, mm-hmm. that I think I've given too much self-esteem to.
Like, what have you wrought?
Yeah, there's a couple women I'm like, bitch, your opinion is not good.
Yeah.
You don't need to die on this hill. It's not the point you think you're making.
I'm glad I gave you the confidence to be so wrong.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's the other part of it, because I think a lot of, especially now, a lot of, because of Trump, like a lot of comics, younger comics are like so into politics, and it's like very obvious that they just started reading the news in 2016. So they have these like wild opinions, and you're like, bitch, like shit was happening way before last 4 years. And I think that's where I'm just like,
Right.
Yeah, if history just started for you, it's fine to like not talk about it.
Yeah. And I mean, like if you're an 18-year-old and you know, you just like, I get that. Like that totally makes sense.
Yeah.
But like women who are like in their mid 30s are just like literally just starting to learn about shit, and it's fucking wild.
It's a little scary.
Yeah.
Well, since we're talking about wildly overconfident white women.
Hell oh my yeah. God.
Let's do this voicemail. This is just a little preface for the audience. We don't do follow-ups. This is not a fucking dialogue. However, I wanted to make one exception. This fucking horrible woman calls in like all the time and is an actual racist.
Yes, Andrew, drag her. I love this.
And it's just like, it is, you know, I've talked about it before on the show, but like, you know, there is some non-zero percentage of our audience that is like actual fucking bigots who I don't know why they listen to every episode.
Well, they're trying to figure themselves out. It's an identity crisis.
I hope so. Anyway, I just want to stress this is an exception. Do not call in with your follow-ups to shit we say in previous episodes. This is not something I'm trying to encourage.
I'm so excited. But here we go. I hope people are encouraged by this.
Here we go.
Great.
My question is, why haven't you addressed the point that not all black people want white friends? Because you've mentioned multiple times that a white person does not have a black friend, avoid them at all costs, stay away from them, they're bad. But it does take time to cultivate, to have black friends, because not all black people will want, they just will flat out reject the idea and avoid it. So it's not just one-sided, but you have not addressed that, and I'd like to know why. Thank you very much.
I should say, every time she calls in, she thinks she has this like amazing mic drop, like refutation.
You know, there's so much sadness in this woman.
I know.
There's so much pain. I know. She really just wants a black friend.
Yeah, because otherwise she wouldn't have to call us to ask about this.
Yeah, you're her black friend.
Oh my God. Yeah. Hey girl, what's up? Never call me again.
I should say there's history in this because some of the other ones she's written. Just trust me.
No, I can.
She's a horrible person.
I can hear it in her voice. As soon as a white woman says, "Why haven't you?" I'm like, okay, no, I'm out. Marcella, what do you think about black people who don't want white friends?
Good for them. Congratulations, you made it. I mean, what a life that you've avoided the devil for so long.
I mean, without pointing out maybe something that's way too obvious, it's that like the fact that this woman has encountered, in her opinion, multiple black people that say, "I don't want any white friends."
I mean, I love it because she's telling on herself. Yeah. Obviously. Yes. She's like at work, there's maybe a black lady. There's someone at the bus stop, or you know, or at Starbucks, wherever there's a black person, she's like, "Hi, I'm Karen. I don't have any black friends. You want to be my friend?" And they're like, whoa, like, lady.
No.
It's not you. I don't have any white friends. Of course.
They're just trying to make her feel better. I think that's the reality. Yeah. That's the subtext, is they're just trying to make her feel that, like, they're lying to you, Karen.
Yeah, because it is you. It's not that they don't want any, because all of us have some. Yeah. All of us do.
Yeah.
White people are useful. White people are fun. Absolutely. White people love.
You also have no choice. There's so many of them.
Yes. Yeah. So if they don't want to be your friend, it is directly because of your personality.
It's you. You. It's you, bitch. You white bitch.
Damn.
It's you.
See, this is, callers, this is why you don't want to call in and do this, because we'll get bold. We'll bring someone on like Marcella. And
yeah.
You. It's you, bitch.
That's beautiful.
Thank you so much. This is me, Beyonce.
I mean, yeah.
All joking aside.
No, I don't. We're not here to give this lady advice.
No,
other
there
than like, is okay. So this is a. She's not the only racist that calls into our inbox. She's the most enthusiastic one. Mm-hmm. And again, I guess thank you for the listens, lady, because I buy a...
Like and subscribe.
Yeah, buy
a water
mattress.
Bottle.
Who knows?
I also want to remind the other listeners that this woman is going to vote. So please get out there and vote.
Oh, yeah, great point.
Yeah. But like, this woman like puts in... I will say this definitively. This woman has listened to more episodes of this podcast than I have.
Damn.
100 more minutes of this podcast.
I hope you're not listening to your own podcast.
Yeah. I mean, I also zone out when I'm recording it.
Like, while you're doing it. I guess also, like, Just for any other people who are nicer, normal people who are like, it's hard to make friends who are different, blah, blah, blah. Like, if just amend your behavior if you're not attracting the type of people you think you should be. Yeah. Just trying to make it very general.
I've also noticed a lot of people on Twitter.com will complain about how white women, when they're just starting, like starting a friendship or at the beginning of a conversation, will just give way too much personal information about themselves right away, immediately, which, especially for Black and brown people, like, we don't do that shit. Like, you really just, keep it basic. Favorite color, favorite food. Like, that's how you really start a friendship. So I think that's really, I think it's sad because she's really, like, looking for advice on how to make friends.
That comes up a lot on the show, but that's interesting. I want to touch on what you said about how Black and brown people, like, I have noticed that because I have both. I have white people in my family and Black people in my family. And I feel like there is a tendency to, like, there's a wait and see with Black and brown people.
Right, absolutely.
I want to wait and see if this person and I, and it's not a judgment. It's just like to see if we're right.
Compatible as friendship.
As a friend, as an acquaintance. And so it's not, it can seem cold, I think, to white people. But a lot of times it's just like, I don't really need to give you my whole heart and story if you're not going to be someone I'm going to spend a lot of time with.
Yeah, I have this year, 2020, I've been like actively pursuing new friendships with people of all backgrounds. And it was funny because when I was, I hung out the first time with a Black girl. She was like, we were vibing. It was cool and everything. And at the end of it, we were texting each other, you know, at the end of the night. And I was like, I feel good and comfortable around you. Let's hang out again. And she was like, I feel the same way.
Yeah.
And then I started trying to make friends with a white girl. And she just like wanted to give me all of the drama that's been going on in her life. And I was like, I started up and I'd be like, hey, girl.
Yeah.
I was like, how about we save the deep stuff for later and we just keep this superficial right now?
Yeah.
And she was like, I can fuck with that. And I was like, yeah, you're going to have to, bitch. I'm doing the most I can to make friends here. Like, it is a lot of work, and people don't know how to adjust, you know?
Yeah. Well, I, so this, that actually, that point actually goes to a little bit to the I think I was trying to figure out the way to, like, frame it for the asker, because I feel like we get a lot of, like, a lot of racists think that, well, if I did it to a Black person or if a Black person did it to a white person, how would you feel? Right. Is like a very smart thing to say.
Right.
And it's not. And but just listening to what you guys are talking about now, there's also an element of like, yeah, you know, to the extent that, you know, there are cultural differences in the way that people of color, Black and brown people specifically, like, make friendships. You know, it's one of those things where it's like, yeah, because, you know, for reasons of history, like, those people are more vulnerable. So they're less, like, about to just give you all of their shit.
Right.
And it just, like, it seems to me like such a simple lens. Because that's the same thing with, like, this fucking woman, right, who called in. It's like, yeah, guess what, lady? Like, there's a difference between how Black people and white people have been treated.
Right.
And maybe that has some bearing on the thing you're experiencing.
Yeah.
Yeah. And maybe you running up on them being like, why won't you be my friend? Isn't like the most chill.
Be my friend or I'm going to put you in this boat.
Oh, what? God. Ma'am, this is a Joann Fabrics. Please leave.
Oh, sorry.
It's really, yeah, I just... I'm curious now, too. Do you think this lady will call in more or less? I would say on average...
Oh, she's going to call in and yell at us about this.
Yeah, if she calls in more, that's on you.
I know. That's caused this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would say on average, thinking back, she probably calls in about once a month.
You know what? It sounds like you're obsessed with her.
Wow.
Well, it just, when I figured out, because I was like, I always like flag like the fucking racists in the like inbox. And then
you don't flirt with them.
I mean, I am now, clearly. Yeah, but I just realized I just left a note in the doc that just says like, this bigot calls in all the time. And because I was just like, I feel like we should do something with it. Like, but I was like, I don't know what. Anyway. All right. Back to
that. We did something with it. We had Marcella yell at her.
Yeah. I didn't yell. I mean, if you're trying to make Black homies, you know, go easy, bitch.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Bake them your best pie.
Oh, yeah.
You know, charm them with that charm, whatever it is. I don't know if you have any, but.
I will say this. I don't think we should give actual advice to this lady because I think the service to people of color would be to keep this woman as far from them as possible. Again,
absolutely. But you know
what? I've listened to her body of work. It's not good.
All right, let's listen to someone who we should help.
Well, yeah, this one's
Oh, great.
Also a doozy.
Oh, I can't wait.
Hi, Andrew, Tawny, and guests. My name is Caitlin, and I'm excited to be calling you because I love your podcast, but I'm not excited to have this insane problem. So I'm a white lady, and I used to be living with a guy who is mixed race, half white, half black, and we met on like Craigslist. We were never friends. We just lived in a house that had like shared common areas and separate bedrooms. And I haven't spoken to him in like 4 months. And all of a sudden I got this text from him that says, "Hey, Caitlin, wanted to let you know I'm voting for Trump 2020. Fuck you, white, liberal, non-American, whatever the fuck you are. Shit probably came from Nazi Germany like your grandmother. My personal ancestors go back to the Mayflower. That's right, I've got white ancestors that came to this country on that boat, and the rest of my ancestors go back hundreds of years here. Fuck liberal, recently immigrated, Euro-communist, fascist pieces of shit." So I am wondering, like, obviously it's not racist because I'm white, but am I racist for thinking that, like, for expecting someone who is half black to not be pro-Trump and also to not be, like, anti-immigrant? And I do feel like it's important to mention that my grandmother was not a Nazi. She did immigrate from Europe after World War II.
Thank you.
She was negatively impacted by the war and was not a Nazi.
We have noted it in your file.
For sure. Anyway, I'm just really curious on your thoughts on why this is happening. And I just don't get it. And I'm wondering if there's something that I'm missing. Thanks so much for all you do. Bye.
What an arc. I'm sorry, that one was also kind of long.
It's okay. There's a lot of twists and turns.
One real quick thing for the callers. If you're white, I think from now on you have to say whether anyone in your family was a Nazi before.
Yeah, I agree.
It says, Hi. My name is whatever, if you want to put your name, and then like...
My family was negatively or positively, positively impacted by Nazis. Just let us know, I guess. What a terrible way to announce yourself.
Wow.
Well, you know, them's the rules now.
That was a lot of backstory that was unnecessary, too. We went on Craigslist, we hooked up twice, and then one time I left my panties in his room. And it's like, what? Just get to the question, lady.
She was telling us about her living situation in a way that it did feel like a lot, but then I was like, oh, I guess we needed to know this to know that, like, you didn't choose this friendship.
Right.
Yeah. Speaking of our earlier convo, this was just like a roommate sitch.
Yeah. It's a roommate, mixed Trump person.
Mixed Trump person. Also with, like, a lot of convoluted...
Yeah. Well, okay. So obviously this person is just a bozo and doesn't know what the hell they're talking about.
Yes.
Which I guess is just normal.
Yes. And true equality is that black and brown people can be just as terrible as your regular white Trump supporter.
Yeah. I mean, her question is interesting. And I think that it's a reflection of a lot of white voters, especially back in 2016, where people were surprised to find out that there were a lot of black and brown voters that were supporting Trump. But I think that a lot of people don't understand. There's a ton of conservative black and brown people. There's a ton of conservative Latinos. Mm-hmm. There's a shit ton of colorism in the Latino community. So, yeah, of course there's Trump supporters that are not white. Like, it's such a narrow-minded liberal way of thinking. Very specific to white people.
Right.
I don't think it's racist that she thinks that she shouldn't be a Trump supporter. It's just like silly.
Yeah. And people like that are definitely the minority of the minorities. So
yeah,
it's not weird of her to be like, this is weird, right? It's definitely weird.
It's definitely weird.
But they exist.
Well, okay. I'm trying to think. Like,
I also wonder if she gave the roommate, I mean, she rented a room because she was like, I'm going to rent a room to an open-minded black person.
And he let her down.
She was like, I was doing him a favor.
All I'm saying is, I do feel like for our first caller, here's your black friend. This is who you want.
Oh my God. This show is like, what's that show now where they can't see each other but they fall in love?
It's like The Circle, but for neo-Nazis.
Yeah, but this is even. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well,
although I guess this guy is against Nazis, well, but he doesn't know what they are.
You can find each other. Oh, wait. Producer Alex just put it up. Is it called Love is Blind? I don't like that title. I don't like that title one bit. But it's about people who are in pods and they can't see each other, but they fall in love.
Oh. Anyway, the dating game.
It. Truly.
Yeah.
Truly, everything's just regurgitated.
Yeah.
I feel for this woman because this man just hit her with such an aggressive text when it sounds like they didn't have any sort of friendship or relationship to just be like, hey, Marsha, fuck you. It's like, whoa, sir.
Yeah.
It's been 4 months.
I want to know what she said to him.
Ooh, you think she lied to him?
I feel like there's no amount of like roommate shit that can't get there.
Yeah.
It's just like no matter what, no matter how kind of normal everyone is, like when you snap, sometimes you just fucking snap.
And I just feel like she was like, I'm going to go get another abortion. And he was like, you fucking.
Yeah.
Another. Yeah. Anyways, toodaloo. I think that's how it came.
Oh, God.
Was it good?
That is so very funny.
That's the correct volume on that voice. Do we have any advice for.
Block his number.
I guess that's true.
There's no need to have any.
Do you? Okay, here's a question that we talk about a lot, but we have never actually helped people very much. Is like,
what is the point of this podcast?
It's just
great
this.
Question.
It's just if we keep the wheel spinning, people don't notice that we never ever help people ever.
Except your first caller. That's why she's like, they're not answering any questions. I'm gonna call again. That's why she keeps
calling. This time. No,
maybe like, if you took this more serious.
It's true. That's a great point.
What if this were serious? Oh, God. What a fucking bummer. Look, it's already kind of a bummer.
I feel like I've tracked. We can do about 4 to 6 minutes of serious at a stretch when something heavy happens and we talk about
something
it with
real.
Guest.
Yeah.
And then somebody's got to make a joke.
Well, because what are you going to fucking do?
I know, but I feel like that's an okay ability to do like four on the Earwolf Network to do like 6 minutes of.
Yeah, we're the good ones. We're the good ones here. Okay.
Let's dissect that.
here's the
somebody call LeVar Burton.
I forgot about
he's
him.
He's the good one.
He's fine. The good one.
But the thing like what do white people do when they encounter like we'll say conservative, but what we mean is like, you know, people
Pro-Trump.
Of color who are somehow fucked up
brainwashed.
In this way. Yeah. Like, is there a thing that white people can actually do or say in the moment? Because it just feels like the skin always becomes this trump card. It's like, how could I be?
Yeah, I mean, no.
Right.
There is nothing. Like, no. Because if somebody is that conservative and they're a minority, they're a lost cause.
Yeah.
I think that's one of the biggest problems that liberals, they take onto their, like white liberals put on their own shoulders is like constantly trying to argue with people that they obviously don't agree with you. Like, why are you having that conversation?
Mm. Right.
There's no reason.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The amount of time spent like arguing with the world's worst people on Twitter is like.
That's so pointless.
Yeah.
I never do it. I've never done it. I never will do it. It's silly.
Yeah. Well, it's the same reason that like truly the rule has not been broken of this podcast is that it's not a dialogue.
No, it's never a dialogue. It's, I'm an ancestor from the Mayflower. It's like, what?
Why are you talking about this?
I have a gun too.
What?
Yeah. That guy for sure has.
Oh, 100%.
I'm going to say, I think that guy has a sword.
Oh, yeah.
It felt like sword.
A sword
energy.
With a gun handle at the, at the end.
So you could feel like he's pulling a trigger. Wait, Marcella, can I ask you, how do you then, because I sometimes have a hard time, I don't engage with stupid people often, but like I have a hard time turning off the pride that's like, I can't let you think that you've, like, how do you just ignore that?
It's so silly. That you need to do self-reflecting because it has nothing to do with you. They want to make you mad. If you make them, if they make you mad, they're already winning.
Yeah.
Like you have to know that that's what they're looking for. They're trying to get you worked up.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't allow them to, or if you like, even if you block them, I love that you can mute people on Twitter
mm-hmm.
because then they have no idea.
Yeah.
And it's so funny to me that they're just talking to nothing. And then what annoys me is when my own followers will jump in because I'm like, no, please don't. I did not want to read this. I don't want to read this.
Yeah.
My upbringing, I had a really misogynistic dad. And so, as a kid, I used to just, love to get him worked up. Like, I come from being an internet troll as a little kid. Like, so I know the mindset of it. They're trying to make you mad just to feel fucking lose it. And, and I don't, even if I, sometimes I'll just say the wrong thing just to make them mad. Like, it's so funny.
That's
you
so got to
understand that they're getting more out of it than you are.
Yeah. Oh, I do understand that. Sometimes it's just hard for me to not be. My thing is like my sense of like I'm correct, you know.
Yeah, but if you're correct and why do you need to share that with people?
Yeah.
You know? It's like your bra size. You don't share that with people, but you know it's your bra size.
You're right.
Yeah. Why would you?
The next time a wardrobe lady emails me and asks for my bra size, I'm going to fucking block her ass. I do block. I mute a lot of people, but then occasionally I'm like, I need you to know. And I do have to block them.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes will. When because there's some dudes that are like really crazy.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah. There's some crazy motherfuckers out there. You're like, no.
Yeah. Well, especially as a stand-up, I feel like you probably get a lot of.
I mean, and like I post my dates, you know, like people can see where I'm going to be.
Yeah.
So like, that does freak me out a little bit.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So get your tickets.
Yeah. MarcelleComedy.com.
We have one more.
We have one more. Yay. Here we go.
Hi. So I am, believe it or not, I'm a black male. And I've sort of grew up in a very like privileged white environment. I went to
That's not bullshit. No, I'm just kidding.
only 8 black people in my graduating class of 80, so about 10%. And there were really no very, very few Latin Americans. So my exposure to Latin American culture is like pretty limited, except I'm also a Spanish minor at Morehouse College. So I regularly, basically my question is, if I go to a Mexican restaurant or a Latin American restaurant and I order something, is it racist if I, A, order in Spanish, or B, order, specific dialect? Like if I said something like horchata, like that, like I don't know, my it doesn't feel genuine, and it seems like I'm exoticizing something that's really not that exotic. It seems like I'm doing more like harm than good. And you know, I don't know. I think that's something that has always made me a little uncomfortable, and it's crazy because I love Mexican food, so. I'd like to have this question.
I was going to say Mexican pussy.
I'm going to say the wrong thing, which is this is not the pride. This is we got a black guy with white guilt.
This person, I love that we had this long wind up.
I was not expecting
to. Am I allowed to say horchata?
So there's only 8 people in my hometown that are black.
We got Morehouse. That's crazy. We got a whole thing about him. Caller, I'm sorry you feel guilty that you don't sound black. It sounded like at the beginning.
Yeah, that was sad.
Because maybe I mean
he also said male, which I was like, dude, you're not calling the cops. I'm a black male, approximately 5'9" to 5'11".
Yeah. You sound like what you sound like. Listen to my ass. Jesus.
I mean, I like how he said approximately 10% when he meant exactly precisely 10%.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we all have our quibbles.
Yeah. Look, we have quibbles. Caller, I'm sorry that you're feeling stressed about this. I don't know why. I think you just got to be – just order normal. Just order as normal as you feel is normal.
But okay, so on this show before, we have said that specifically like the kind of white people that lean into like 1 to 2 phrases in like accented Spanish is very annoying.
Yeah.
Does it change anything if the person is black?
Are you asking?
Does it make it less annoying? Yeah, I guess it's like, does that change anything in the annoyance factor? And then I guess whatever the fuck else is going on in this dude's head. Because like, there's an element where I feel like the subtext is like, he thinks he comes off as white. Does that feel, am I reading in too much into this?
That's interesting.
I don't know. I don't know what he thinks.
I feel like he said privileged a lot, and it was like...
He's experiencing some class guilt, for sure.
Yeah.
It's just not often we have callers that differentiate. A lot of times it's just we get, like, white callers who feel guilty for a bevy of reasons.
Yeah.
So this is a more specified... Correct. way to feel guilty.
Well, again, just tell us how many Nazis you had in your family. That's like a start. I don't know. I mean, I guess that was why this question was interesting to me. Is like, I feel like we get a variation of this question an awful lot, but mm-hmm. it's never, I don't know, never, but rarely from a person of color.
Yeah,
that's true. Yeah, I think it sounds like you feel weird about ordering that way. So yeah. Don't do it.
Yeah.
Like, whatever you feel weird about, like, don't, you know.
Yes. I mean, I'm Latina. It's weird when people will go above and beyond to be like, yes, may I have the burrito?
Yeah.
And it's like, what? And he tried to say something about the dialects, different dialects. Just like, dude, do you want fucking tacos or not?
Yeah. I think also it's right. Just coming down to like ordering tacos. Like it's such yeah. a simple situation.
Chimichurris, are you really going crazy on the chimichurri order? What's going on here?
Do you, okay, so this is a thing I have said also before, which is definitely incorrect on some level, but like I think I might, well, whatever. I'll just say the thing I said before and then I don't feel great about the way I said it, which is just like I sometimes feel like it's just better to say it in the anglicized version.
I mean, I don't even know if it's better. Like, for me, it's more like, does the person in front of you speak and understand English?
Mm-hmm.
Then just fucking read it how you read it.
Right.
And if you want to throw the accent, like, embarrass yourself in front of everybody. Accept that moment. Like, you know?
Right. Mm-hmm. It's a bad look.
It's a bad look, but it's also like, if you think you can get away with it, dog, try it out, bro. Try it out. But the fact that you're calling is just proof that you feel stupid.
Yeah.
And like, and maybe the Latina server is like, this fucking idiot comes in here and he fucking, like, if mm-hmm. they don't know your order by now,
yeah,
you're fucking shit up in there. You know, like, and it maybe he has, like, because he's talking about fetishization.
You got it.
And for me, it's like, oh, does he like Latinas? And he's having an uncomfortable time because... Mm-hmm. No man, no straight man mm-hmm. is tripping mm-hmm. about this shit unless he is fetishizing a group of people.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
because mm-hmm. if he is like, you gotta understand, like, English is my second language, but I now, like, I've lost my accent, my Spanish accent. So, like, I feel sometimes super gringa when I'm talking in Spanish at a fucking, you know, Mexican or Salvadorian restaurant. But, like, sometimes I'm like, I don't fucking care. Like, if I don't practice my Spanish,
right.
I will lose my Spanish.
Yeah.
Right.
So, like, for me, it's like, if it makes you feel stupid, don't do it.
Yeah.
That's it. Because it's not racism. It's right. just silliness.
It's just maybe awkward.
It's just awkward.
And, like, yeah, I agree with everything you said. And I feel like maybe the fact that he's in the, you know, he says, I'm a Spanish minor. So he's, like, currently studying, or maybe he did study.
It feels like, yeah.
Or recent.
Like, deep overthinking it.
Deeply overthinking it.
And especially when you've paid money to learn how to do a thing and you got graded on whether your pronunciation was good or whatever. So I get how then to walk out into the world and to, like, strip that away and to forget about the student loans you have for the way you say horchata or not. I get that that might be weird, but also, like, just think of it as a fun exercise in code switching, you know?
Exactly. And, you know, sometimes, you know, if you get the server who thinks it's cute, she's going to hook you up with a free horchata.
Sure.
Like, it's not as deep and dark as he thinks it is,
mm-hmm.
but it's definitely like, if you feel stupid, then don't do it.
Yeah, and I think the call is evidence that you do feel stupid.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Once again, they answered their own fucking question.
Yeah, once again, as Marcella asked, what does this podcast do?
Yeah.
The answer is,
I mean,
baby,
ideally,
why am I here?
We would love to not shine a light on our own. We don't. We're not here to self-reflect. We're here to point fingers at other people.
I love it.
That's what we fucking
I'm
do.
I'm so important.
Marcella, could you tell people where to find you? We've mentioned it a couple times. But just
at Marcella Comedy on all socials. And my website is marcellacomedy.com. 2 L's. Marcella Comedy.
Mm-hmm.
Dope. And
cool.
There's a chance.
The rapper?
Ben. Oh. No, there's never a chance.
He will not be here. He won't come on the show.
No, there's a chance she is in your town, has been in your town, or will be in your town. So keep keep an eye out for the tour dates.
Always adding dates, so come see me. In June, I'll be in Texas for sure.
Oh, cool.
Dope.
Texans, get at her. All right. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely.
And we're back. We're back.
Yeah.
We're back.
We kind of set all the sign-off-y stuff up at the top. So
yeah, it's
here's
true.
An unlimited opportunity to say whatever's
sitting on your heart.
I know. What the fuck do we do? I'm running. If anyone listening is a member of the WGA, I'm running for the WGA board in WGA West. I don't know if this violates some sort of election rule. I hope it doesn't, but I guess I'll find out the hard way.
What, announcing your campaign on a gently listened to podcast?
Yeah. I don't know how this shit works. I don't know. This is not an endorsement from Earwolf. It's not, as far as I know, an endorsement from Tawny.
I endorse.
Tawny, you should really read up on all the candidates and make your decision. Take your time.
I don't like learning stuff that's going to change my mind.
No, seriously.
I decide who I like based on their kind eyes, and then I don't want to be swayed from that with facts.
Yeah, if for real, actually, once I posted about it on Twitter, and then some of the message I was getting from people were like, I think we may not agree on any issues, even though we're friends. But yeah, whatever. It's a weird time to be running for office in a labor union. I don't know if this is a good idea, but, you know, it just, there are very few people of color on that board. And, you know, I started out writing late, so there's very few, like, kind of older, lower level writers, if any. So things like that. I don't know. Maybe you'll hear more about this on the show, maybe not, but that's my plug. If you're in the WGA,
that's cool. My plug is my continuing plug. Stop asking me for shit that I don't do. Stop asking people of color for shit that it's not our job to do. Seriously, fucking stop it. I'm so tired. Yeah. I am so tired. I love you all. / many of you are complete strangers. So
amazing.
Stop it.
Amazing,
fucking
amazing.
Reading lists.
Oh, get God. I know. Just Google that shit. It's anywhere. What do we do? 323-389-7223, 323-389-RACE. Yeah. Yeah, that's about it. All right.
That's it.
Yozus Racist, Trondi Newman, Andrew T. That's all we got. That's all that we can do. Peace.
Bye.